I was jumping around, rocking out like I was 20 something years old, and I'm
Like you just
thinking,
didn't care.
well, jumping around like I just didn't have open heart surgery. And I'm thinking, am I gonna die?
I'm going. This is it.
Well,
the big
this
one.
Is that's the place to go if you're going to do a music festival. That is, anyway, I guess.
Yeah, that would have been on point for me though. Yeah, dying at a festival.
Welcome back to the What Podcast. I'm Barry. That's Russ. That's Brian. We are a couple of weeks removed from South Star, the festival, the brand new festival in Huntsville, Alabama. We are going to continue to talk about that a little bit this week and then probably again next week. The reason that we want to continue to talk about it is because of what happened. And on this show, this is the What Podcast, we'd like to take a deep dive into music festivals. We started to talk about Bonnaroo. That's the reason we started this show in 2018. And we realized we really like the sausage making. We like looking under the rug. We like figuring out how people put these things together. We like talking about why we love them so much. And we like having other people on to talk about them. And later on, you're going to hear from a friend of ours, Jim Stryker, a guy that Brian and I have known for decades. Russ just met, which surprised me. I figured you knew each other. But Jim has been a club owner here in town in Chattanooga for many, many years. He's also been a promoter. He's put on events. He's also a fan. Goes to Bonnaroo, goes to all kinds of festivals. So he and his lovely wife, Heather, went down to South Star. And I wanted to get their take because he and I talked before, during, and after the event. And so to me, just thinking about South Star, and it just everything, it encapsulates everything we love and don't love about these type of events, right?
Yeah, I've gotten to a point where I'm getting really tired of my outdoor events getting ruined by the weather.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, this brand new phenomenon, weather messes up outdoor events. A well-laid plan gets thrown out the window very, very, very quickly when you got to deal with those kind of conditions that the South is still dealing with in many respects.
Let me jump. I'm glad you said that, because last week I feel like I sort of overlooked, if that's the right word. We spent so much time talking about South Star and our own first world problems, literally, when people up in East Tennessee and the Carolinas are suffering, and I didn't mean to just sort of slight that and talk about us having muddy boots.
Sure.
Those guys are dealing with real problems. And if you guys can help, you can go online. There's all kinds of ways to help. But I just didn't want to overlook that.
Sure. But if you can, the show needs to go on if you can. And that was what they attempted to do, and good on them for trying it.
So that was the point. We've said on here several times about the difference between a camping event and a city event. And this is a perfect example. Brian, you and I, just to recap, we all three were going months and weeks ago. This was for sure. This was on our calendar. There's no way we're missing it. And then Russ had a family member decide she's going to get married in Florida the same weekend. A hurricane comes. Brian, you and I, we're going Saturday. We're going Sunday. We're going overnight. Russ's wedding plans got changed. He ended up going. Brian went Saturday, and we'll talk about that a little bit. I ended up not going because of just circumstances. So that's what can happen with a city festival. And to me, that's what's so fascinating about this whole thing is all the different elements. Do you go? Do you not go? Why do you go? Do they cancel? And of course they canceled on Sunday. So pretty crazy.
Yeah, I saw somewhere, I wonder if this is true, certainly could have tried to do some fact-checking on it myself and Will over the course of the however long, because the answer to this doesn't need to be this moment. But do we know if this is a multi-contracted deal with the city and a festival?
Yeah, because it's a three-year contract.
Okay. I thought I saw that somewhere, but I didn't know where it was coming from, so I wasn't going to be parrot guy on a podcast or on a social media saying, well, at least we get 2 more years. Like, I wasn't for sure about that. So that's good. That's good for everybody involved that they, because that's not, I wouldn't call that super normal to schedule. I mean, we did it here with this, here in Chattanooga with this Bluegrass, the BBMA, the Bluegrass IMBA, Association.
IBMA, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a little different than your average festival. So, good on them to at least we know, or they know, everybody involved knows that they get another couple of cracks at this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think even despite the weather issues, I would say overall it was a success. I mean, from a production standpoint, I don't know what ticket sales were like. Obviously, they're refunding Sunday only, and they're refunding half if you bought a whole weekend, so that's the right thing to do. But, yeah, I mean, I think they're definitely there's enough for them to want to move forward and try again for next year. Corey said he was already excited about what they've got planned for next year.
Corey Smith with C3.
Corey Smith,
the people putting it on. Yeah, and that's, again, we're going to have another guest next week. We're going to get into more of the city's side of it. But that's the other, we talked about it a little bit last week when we had Russ, a group that you were staying with, sort of the community side of it. And we talked today, you'll hear our guest, Jim Stryker. He and his wife went down, and I wanted to have them on because I talked to them, as I said, before, during, and after, and they were having a great time. And that's no small thing. People made the best of it, right? So that's one element. The Saturday shows were great from all reports. And even the people who were there Sunday, part of the reason that Huntsville wanted to do this was to show off the city. So it's more than just, hey, we're having a concert, you know, hey guys, come watch the music and then go away. It was designed to show off the city of Huntsville. And you have to say that was a success. I mean, everybody that I've talked to said, you know, they spent Saturday night after the last note, they went out and shut down the town, and then they got up Sunday and, you know, I won't say who, but I talked to somebody who was involved, and they went out Sunday night and the bars were packed and the restaurants were packed, and they were asking the bartenders and the staff, are you guys typically this crowded on a Sunday night? And they said, absolutely not. So,
yeah, a bunch of people needing something to do.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the city of Huntsville is a pretty easily navigable city in the super trends amongst certain types of the walkable nature of everything and keeping things in a real tight-knit kind of thing. That's a fun kind of fanciful kind of way of envisioning a community. Yeah, it's a driving town, but so are most cities in the South and across the country. And really, it's just very easily to navigate. Huntsville is plug in where you want to go, and it's not very the terrain is very simple to understand. So it sounds like people made the best of it, because hell, you're already there, and if you already got a room, you're staying till Monday. What are you gonna do, right?
Well,
hang out in Space City,
you know, and not to overstate. I mean, we're not, I don't work for the Huntsville Chamber of Commerce, but the reason we do this show is to talk about the elements of festivals. And the reason they did that festival was what we're just talking about. Even though it got rained out, the hotels and the restaurants and the bars made good money, it sounds like.
Hopefully, yeah, anyway.
Same thing happened here in Chattanooga when Sunday got canceled at Moon River. I mean, every bar and every restaurant, every shop, you know, downtown was packed with people that were in town and had nothing else to do. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it definitely shows off the city.
So, again, no small thing. So, all right, we got an interview again with our friend Jim Stryker. I wanted to have him on because, like I said, he and his wife went down. I've known forever, bar owner, so he offers that sort of perspective, club owner, promoter. He typically goes to Bonnaroo, as he said, he does it the bougie way. He's the RV guy. But this last weekend they were, you know, ankle deep or knee deep in mud like everybody else.
Yeah, you can't VIP your way out of mud.
No.
Mud comes for all levels of ticket buyers.
Yeah, so we talk a little bit, Brian, you mentioned, and we'll probably get into it more next week, your experience. And again, well, no, let's go ahead and do that. Your experience to me is my nightmare. This was the nightmare.
Heading to the festival you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Do I go? Do I not go? You get in the car. You tell.
Yeah. So we were communicating a bunch that morning, and this is very, very reminiscent of that Sunday here in town a few years ago with Moon River. We had interviews set up that day. Brad from Band of Horses, which I spent a lot of time on, that got axed, and then this one we had the same kind of deal. So we didn't know when to leave, and this is certainly a case where you don't want to leave too early. What are you going to do if you get there too early? A lot of variables here. So I ended up going around 2 o'clock rather than around 10 a.m. like I had planned. And, you know, it was just as soon as I walked up, it was. I mean, I don't want to badmouth the organization because I wasn't there long enough. When I mean organization, I mean the organizational structure. I don't want to speak to it much because I wasn't there enough. But it had a lot of its same typical festival stuff where everybody you ask a question, they don't know the answer. They either don't know the answer or they're playing dumb. There's a certain level of human psychology to where
self-preservation.
Where you just don't want to tell somebody the truth.
Right.
Because you feel like that's the bad news is going to, you know, it's this weird cultural thing in Southern America anyway. And they're always wanting to be friendly, even when it's being friendly is not the best thing to do. And as I was trying to find a place to park, I had three different people that I was sternly polite with. Polite but stern, and like, hey man, I'm looking for parking. I tagged at the end of it, same thing. I can't be the first person who's asked you this today. And well, up that way, mate. Just say you're on your own, bro. Just tell me something that makes rather than well up this way, maybe. Come on, man. If you don't know, just say you don't know. And if there's no parking. And you're on your own. Just say no parking. You're on your own. And three different times I would find somebody and they gave me the same thing. Very, 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 very polite, but not helpful. Polite, but not helpful. That was annoying. That's anecdotal. Doesn't have anything to do with anybody else. But when I got up to the gates, it was so clear that this was going to be a muddy slop fest that I was going to just have a story to tell that wasn't that good, you know, right. That I went in. And so that's why I decided with what looked like thousands deep to try to get in. I wasn't going to go pushing my way through to be like, hey, look, you know who I am, or people are waiting on me, or I got deadlines here. I wasn't going to do any of those kinds of things. And then I just said, I'm going to take it back to the house. In an hour and a half, I can be standing in the mud watching Tom Morello, or an hour and a half, I could be sitting on the couch watching Indiana, Michigan. I don't know. Make up a name. Up a terrible college football game, and that's what it was. So to me, no big deal. It's an easy drive. But yeah, it was.
Yeah, no.
It was the anxiety of making the wrong decision. Yeah. One of these is going to be the wrong decision. I don't want to make that. But
yeah, hey,
what are you going to do?
Well, before you went home, you could have gone Campus 805. You could have gotten something to eat. Green Bus Brewing is in Huntsville. I mean,
countless things I could have been doing.
Just turned around and went straight back home. You could have said, well, if I'm not getting in here, at least I could, you know, bum around Huntsville for a few hours.
I'm good at just cutting the cord, man. Just we're done here. Snap. See you later. It's kind of where that was.
That's why I wanted to. I just think it's such a display or whatever of all the different ways to do this.
To try to make it work.
Right. And you're going to hear, as part of that, the interview with Jim and his wife and then Russ, you know, everybody who was in, it was muddy up to their, you know, ankles and hips or knees, but having a blast. So it's kind of that when you're in, you're committed, had a blast. The music was great. you know, type of thing versus that anxiety of do I go, do I not, do I stand in line, you know, that kind of thing. So it's all, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. There is no answer. I just think it's all a kind of a this is what happens type of thing. So, all right. Anything else? Oh, I know we got a couple of news items. Did you get your Oasis tickets or no?
Yeah. So this is one of those, you know, me and then also me, like the memes you see, like me, I want to get healthy. And then me also, I want to eat tacos, that kind of thing. My 2025 was me don't do anything. Keep it chill this year. Just do the normal Bonnaroo, keep it simple. And then also me, which destination city, you know, internationally hubbed, do I want to go see Oasis? You can't have it both ways, dude. So I had some friends talk me into looking into this. They announced the five North American dates: Mexico City, Toronto, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles. I think that's it, going on memory. And I talked about this a little bit on some local stuff here. These pre-sales, Barry and Russ, man, they're driving me nuts. Like the complications of ticket purchasing. I haven't had to buy tickets to a high demand event in years. Bought plenty of tickets to events, but super high demand I haven't had to deal with. Man, those are hoops I don't want to jump through. And the pre-sales get annoying and confusing. And I sat around online in queue 30,000 deep and eventually got through. And then it was absurd prices in absurd sections, offensive set up for the whole purchasing product, and XXXX out. See you later. You know, I'll rely on somebody maybe to help me out when it gets closer to the time frame if it works out. I tried to be a regular guy. I tried to get on and buy some tickets. I was going to pay whatever it cost. And it was like, yeah. The process was so discouraging. It felt like you're not getting tickets like from the jump, from the start, from the emails, from the you're accepted for the presale to every step of the way. It just felt like, get ready to waste your time, dude. It ain't going to work out for you, but get your hopes up and have fun anyway. That's what it felt like, and that's what it was. And so I walked away very disappointed from that. But
what's the over under the two don't beat the shit out of each other?
That's a good question. It's a running question, running theme, and it's fair. But the only thing I would say to that is that Noel Gallagher, the older main singer, songwriter, brother, not the lead singer Gallagher, he's a really pragmatic guy. And he's a much smarter guy than anybody gives any credit to. They fought a bunch as young people. His brother is a dope. Liam, the lead singer, he's a dope. He says stupid things all the time. He's just a troublemaker. He is not highly intellectual type. He just got a great voice. Noel's a really smart guy, writes all the music, and he's a business guy. And he's been saying for a decade and a half, y'all offer me $200 million, it's done. It's done. Like, he says that jokingly, but he'd be like, you got a couple hundred million? Yeah. Then we'll do it tomorrow.
What's the stupid number?
Yeah, and eventually, it's now a couple hundred pounds. A couple hundred million pounds, you're getting paid for this. He ain't going to let a fight with his idiot younger brother mess up his $100 million payday. I feel confident in saying that, and I've been following this band long enough. I believe that's true. He doesn't care about his brother enough to get into a fight with him is where I think that is, because there's talks, there's numbers that show that they will outpace their earnings from the 1990s in 8 months.
Yeah.
You know, like those are real numbers based on everything you can start guessing.
Yeah.
You're going to make more money.
The hatchet real quick.
Yeah. The more money you made in an entire decade of your height, mm-hmm. of your popularity, they'll get along. Yeah. They'll figure it out. If I'm wrong, it'll be a funny story, and we'll talk about it.
Exactly. All right, and real quick, because we teased it before, Chapel Roan, your new favorite, your fanboy.
Yeah, she's canceled some shows.
She's canceled some shows. It kind of same thing with Jane's Addiction and Oasis. I mean, celebrity, it's a heavy burden, man.
The meteoric,
she's dealing with it.
The rise to fame has been something for the record books to be talked about. She's being pretty typical Gen Z-ish about this in a lot of ways. But, it, you know, you don't, I don't want to be that guy, but there's a little bit of that. I think it's kind of funny. I saw the show once. I probably don't need to see it again. There was this great TikTok. I wish we could regurgitate it on this show. We really can't. Where it's somebody coming in. It's just dressed like a dad. And he opens the door. He's like, "Chapel, you have a show tonight, honey." He's like, "I don't want to play. I don't want to. My art is my mean." Like all this typical stuff. Right. He's like, "Well, okay, sweetie. Well, I'll go make you a little bowl of cereal when you're ready to come play the show now."
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. It's so unfair, but it had millions and millions and millions of interactions. It was quite funny. But hey, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going
to
do?
Oh, yeah. I'm not judging her. I'm not in that space. I hope to never be in that space.
Like,
where
I'm not
going to
endorse anybody, Dad. It's like, you don't have to endorse anybody. Yeah. So, honey.
Stop looking at me. They're looking at me. Why are they looking at me?
Why are you looking at me? I don't know. You dress like a clown on stage. That's why they're looking at you.
Exactly. I mean, you get up on stage and sing and
you put on a clown suit sometimes.
Yeah, again, not making fun. I get it. So
love her to death. And you know, if you're around here at all, you know I'm a Chapel guy, but I'll laugh at people who look and sound silly. No problem with that.
All right. Anything else, Russ? What's your next big okay. All right.
Well, actually, this weekend coming up, I'll be at Cave Fest. Yeah, Cave Fest, at the Caverns. Up.
Cave Fest this weekend in Chattanooga, there's so much talk about festivals and crowds and everything. This weekend in Chattanooga is the Three Sisters Bluegrass Festival, which is a huge, wildly popular event for the last 17 years, as well as a hip hop summit. So there are things happening. You know, it's just depends on where you are and what you're into. So, all right. So next, we're going to do this interview with Jim Stryker. Again, I appreciate him coming on. It's just, you know, one more opinion on how South Star went and how much fun he had. So here we go with Jim.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
All right, here we are. We're back. I'm Barry. That's Russ. That's Brian. And we're here with Jim Stryker. Just to sort of, like I've said before, we like to do the sausage making. We like to look under the rug. We like to see how the milk got in the coconut, as my friend said. I still don't know 100% what that means.
Yeah, I don't know what that means at all.
But I love it. It just sounds funny. We all kind of know each other. I thought Jim and Russ knew each other, but it turns out they don't. Brian, you know Jim from way back. Jim is the guy. I worked at the paper for 30 something years. Jim owned bars during all that time. Is that right?
About 25 of them, probably.
Okay. And there were two people that I always could go to. You and Mike Dewar. Mike Dewar, who's a Camp Nut Butter founder, actually, if we're going to be legit, you know, honest about it. But Jim and Mike were the people I would go to and say, "Hey, man, what's happening in this bar business universe?" And you always had the right answers. But the reason you're on here is we're going to continue to talk about South Star because you went and you have a unique perspective, I think. And again, going back to the, we like the sausage making type of thing. So I wanted to hear, you were there with your lovely wife. And so we're going to get your perspective on how it went, why you went, what would be done differently and all that. And plus, you and I talked several times over the last 2 weeks, you guys had a pretty good time. And so, first impressions, what do you think of South Star?
Location was great. Besides the mud, of course. But everything seemed to run pretty smooth from the time we got there. Had to park, you know, parking was fine. We were fortunate. The general mission parking was sold out, and we were fortunate to find some outside parking close. We walked up to the front gate. Took me 5 minutes at will call to get my wristbands. And then we had to stand in line, and they had a separate line for those that, you know, either had media or VIP passes. And we went over there, and actually right next to the VIP, there was a line with about five people in it for general admission. And I looked at the longer line, and I went, hey, let me jump in this line. And then this lady screams at me in VIP going, I've been sitting in line for an hour. I'm like, well, you weren't smart enough to get in the short line. I'm sorry.
Let me ask you, Jim, just to get specific to that exact moment. What time of day would you say that was Saturday? Because I have a reason for asking, because I want to correlate it with the time that I showed up. What time would you think that would be?
The gate, right when the gate first opened, which what that day they did it at
2:30.
Yeah, it was supposed to be earlier.
Yeah, but since they postponed everything, cut a couple of acts, started a little bit later with the gate, but shoot, it was exactly 2:30. Well,
the reason I ask is that I've been absent from the show from the last week or so just because of scheduling and just all the upside down planning we've had from the weather and everything. I got there around 2:30 myself, which in hindsight was probably not the best idea. I probably should have got there a little earlier than the time on the ticket said. But when I got there, it was one of those classic cases of, and I know you've dealt with this from venues and events you've been to, where no one really knows where the line is. And some people are standing in a line 5,000 deep when there's a line over here that's 200 deep. And it's not because people are being jerks. They don't know. And I think that's just a victim of the situation, especially with everybody trying to get in. But I had a nightmare trying to get in.
Oh, did you really? Wow.
With the mud pits starting to build by the second. So I did notice, though, I was looking around, I was like, that line with the 5 million people in it, that ain't really the line, I don't think. But that's just the natural herd mentality of the situation. But it sounds like it worked out better luck-wise for you than it did.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess in your situation, it probably could have been well-suited to have maybe some additional security posted up there, maybe correlating and corralling each line might have been a little more efficient.
Probably. Yeah. I think there was just a lot of, oh, shit, we got to get this thing going. Let's go. And so I don't blame anybody for the situation. I was curious that we were there about the same time and had different experiences.
That's really why I wanted to do this sort of group thing, because I know Brian, you had your experience, and Jim, you had yours, and your wife. That's what we want to talk about. To me, this particular festival, and this is the reason we're going to talk about it this week and next week, is because it just encapsulates to me the festival. It's what can happen, right? I mean, it's a little bit of everything.
Yeah. We've been to so many festivals, and mainly, of course, Rue. I mean, we've dealt with it in every kind of situation over the years, you know, big mud piles to, hey, everything went really smooth.
To dust bowls. Yeah. To what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you bring an RV some years, and some years. Have you always done RV?
I guess I'm bougie. I'm like,
shocking news on the One Podcast. Jim Stryker goes a little bit above the norm.
Yeah. You know, I've got my Fire Stick, and I'm watching Netflix in between shows. I'm in the air conditioner.
Watch out, Reddit's going to have fun with this one.
That's why we had you on. We had you on for the bougie crowd that, you know, listens to this podcast.
Yeah. I can't do swamp ass. I can't.
But you did, and that's the reason you're here today, because you and your wife Heather, right?
Right.
I talked to you Saturday. You were driving up because I got the message that our interviews had canceled, and I I thought, well, if anybody knows what's going on, because Jim and I have mutual friends and that are involved in these types of things. And I thought, well, maybe he knows something. And I called and you were like, no, we're almost there. We're going. And I said, well, are you going to stay till tomorrow? And I could hear Heather in the background. We're seeing Blink 182.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh, that means I'm not going to get home. I was doing the timeline in my head going, okay, it's 11 o'clock there when they'll finish. It's 12 o'clock our time. It's going to take an hour and a half to get out of the festival. Yeah.
People get so mad at me, Jim, when I travel to Central Time and then I spend my entire time doing the math in my head, like every time. It's like 3 o'clock. What time? It's 3 o'clock. No. It's 4 o'clock if we subtract the 1 and add the 3. And then, like, I start doing that from the time I get there. People are like, dude, would you just shut up about the time already?
Well, going there from Eastern time is great because you're like, I got an extra hour. Oh, my God. This is amazing. I got plenty of time. And then, you got to give it back when you travel home.
Yeah. But it was just so funny to hear her.
Oh, yeah. She's the boss.
Yeah. That was Jim's like, I'm going to be in bed Sunday evening after dinner. And she was like, no, you're not.
Well, to Heather's defense, in this specific festival, if you're, Blink 182 is the star of the show.
Yeah.
Whether I like it or not, they're the star of the show. And but it didn't get there. So,
yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right. So you guys got in and then you had a. I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth. What happened the rest of the day?
The distance between the stages. So, essentially you go in and you find your area you're either going to hang out in. We fortunately had VIP tickets, which they had a section for it. Well, you go inside the VIP. Of course, it's muddy, too. They did have a big tented dry area that you could hang out in, but I guess because of the inconvenience, they allowed you free beer and sodas backstage. So the friends that went with me, of course, were big drinkers, and they're like, this is the best thing ever. And me, that, I don't drink anymore, and I'm like, okay, well, glad you guys enjoyed it. But you find your little area and then you go back and forth between the stages, you didn't have much time. Once one ended on one stage, the next act was up and going.
Right.
And you probably, if you were at one stage, you probably missed the first song walking back because it took you a little bit longer because of the mud. So if we would have been on the right side of the stage, we would have been set up, but we had to walk all the way across the entire mud field of the main stage and get to the VIP area again, and that put us up close to the front of the stage. So where were you guys at?
They were at home. I was there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Right.
Ryan was trying to get in, and I was the driveway.
I'll let Russ continue in a second real quick for anybody, because I wasn't on with you guys last week. All that that I started with the line and all that to get my wristband and everything, none of that was as smooth as it was for you, Jim. I didn't go in. I took a trip to Huntsville, walked around the place, grumbled to myself a little bit, and then was home in time for whoever the Vols were playing that night. Like, it was a disappointing run for me, for sure. But
so you just did a road trip down and back.
I mean, it's an easy drive, as we all know. You don't want to take it for no particular damn reason. But yeah, it was just not where I could get a good idea what was going on inside, and I was only going for a few hours anyway. I said that up front, especially once the weather rolled in, and so. Yeah, it was a disappointing day, that's for sure, but hey, it's happened before.
This is kind of, and we're going to talk next week.
Well, I was there.
I know you were. I'm going to come back. Okay.
All right, well, you were asking.
I just think this is such an interesting, the microcosm of this is what can happen with festivals. That's why I wanted to have Jim on and the four of us talk. I mean, you know, we do the deep dives. We talk about Bonnaroo, obviously, mostly, but we also talk about, we've talked about the city festival versus the camping festival versus, you know, the whatever. And this was, to me, such a great example of what can happen and what did happen. Russ wasn't going to go.
Yeah, Russ was the one not going at all.
He was not going at all. Ended up having the whole weekend. Jim,
well, half the weekend.
Half, well, yeah, but you ended up having the weekend. Mm-hmm. I was going all 3 days. Brian saying, or one day, it, you know, it just, this is what can happen, and that's why. And, but the thing that has, continues to stick out to me, except for Brian and his, you know, there and back, most people had a really good time.
Yeah, you weren't going to miss any of the shows. I mean, because the stages were so close in distance. Russ, what do you think? That it made it really nice. I mean, it was literally over a hill and that was it. And then, so,
yeah,
some festivals, stages are so far apart that you spend half the next act walking to it.
Yeah, trying to figure out where to go.
Yeah, Russ.
The layout was great. I mean, pretty much from anywhere in there where you stood, you could look out and see everything. Okay, here's this stage. Here's the other stage. Here's food. Here's restrooms. Here's this, you know. Mm-hmm. It was really easy to navigate and get around. And, you know, like you said, yeah, as soon as one band ends on this stage, you got to be at the other stage. So you're either missing part of the end of one set or you're missing the first song at the other one. But yeah, layout.
But you got
great.
In there early, right, Russ? You got a pretty good look at things early on, and you got a full day of it, right?
I got there. Yeah, I had a pretty full day. I got there about 2:30 or so. But our Uber driver dropped us off at the back entrance, not at the front. There was a little confusion about where the drop off point was.
A little confusion out there, but yeah.
Yeah, since I had a media wristband, they let me on through at the back, but then once I was back in the backstage area, back of house, I guess, there was no real way to get into the venue. I had to walk all the way up across the fence, almost to the very front, and I finally just saw kind of like a little break in the fence, and I snuck in, came in behind somebody.
Sneaked into the festival he already has credentials to.
Yeah, people turned around and looked at me that like were working that booth or whatever, and I was like, no, I'm supposed to be here. You know,
I own the place.
Like, whatever. Yeah. So,
he must be important. He came in the secret way.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's how I got in, and Gin Blossoms, saw them, pretty much stayed the whole day, you know, and of course it was muddy. It was muddy before anyone even set foot there, just because of how much rain it got. But yeah, it was great.
Well, let's go ahead and do this because you brought it up. But talk about your highlights, both of you. I know, Russ, we talked a little bit with the show we did last week about, you know, mm-hmm. the day, but we didn't get into the music because I wanted to wait because I know Jim and Heather saw it, and he had some thoughts on it too. But what were the highlights? I mean, well, let's say it this way first. It sounded like everybody who was there had a blast, right? I mean, the shows were great. The Tom Morello mm-hmm. we're going to talk about. Stefani, everybody, you know, she really came and put on a great show. So, I mean, TLC, well, I heard, was great. So you guys tell us what was –
well, you
tell
know,
us about the event.
You know, when you go to a show or you're at a show or, you know, producing a show and you hear everybody just singing one particular song, you know, and the whole crowd singing. Well, it seemed like, you know, every act, well, it was every act they had on.
Had that, yeah.
It was sing along mm-hmm. time with every single band that played. There was a number of songs for each band. So, you know, of course, with, you know, Gwen Stefani and Shinedown, those two acts having probably the most hits. Yeah. It was more prevalent. But gosh, yeah, what I say to you, Barry, it was nostalgia.
Nostalgia. Yeah. Nostalgia. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. My favorite act, of course, are the rock acts, because I've done so many of those, and almost every act on that first day's bill had played for me at one point. So, you know, it was always, for me, it's always great to see Shinedown. And then the bonus was seeing, you know, I was really disappointed about Jane's Addiction breaking up right before, you know. It was kind of like I finally got tickets to see Aerosmith in Knoxville. And then I tell my wife that afternoon, and then, you know, at 11, and then 2 o'clock that day, they announce, you know, they're breaking up. Yeah. But, you know, and so I was
We're entering those ages, Jim, you know that.
Yeah. I was super excited to see Jane's Addiction, because who doesn't want to sing Jane Says, you know?
Right. I've Been Caught Stealing was the one for me, man.
Yeah,
I
think for all of us that didn't do it for the last 30 years, yes, we all definitely wanted to. I'm 100% the same boat as you.
So, but then they announced Tom Morello, and I was like, well, what's Tom Morello going to be like by himself? Oh, it was awesome.
I was about to say, pretty awesome, right? Y'all answer that question.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Definitely a highlight for me, too.
Yeah, it was my favorite set, just because he went through a medley of rage, and it was like,
I told you guys 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. I didn't spoil it on the show, but I was like, I'm seeing what he's gonna do, and it's gonna be good. I hate that I missed it, but
yeah, it was, you know, I was jumping around, rocking out like I was 20 something years old, and.
Like I'm you just didn't care.
Well, jumping around like I just didn't have open heart surgery. You know, and I'm thinking, am I going to die? Yeah.
I'm going, this is it. Well, the big this one.
That's the place to go if you're going to do it. A music festival, that is, anyway, I guess.
Yeah, that would have been on point for me, though. Yeah, dying at a festival.
Yeah, in the mud.
Oh yeah.
But that,
yeah,
what I love about this is this, just this idea is, you know, you're there, man. You're muddy. Let's go, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what it sounded like, everybody. Yeah. That's what I heard, Russ.
At this point, I mean, it was early in the day, and you know, we just didn't care about the mud. It was muddy, and you had to watch where you step, and you were getting dirty, but. Tom Morello, I mean, come on. So, it was still pretty early, though.
Was it like this when you first started walking in the mud? You know, I knew to wear, you know, mud shoes or shoes you didn't really care about. But at first, when you take those first few steps, you're like gingerly walking in it.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's
and you're like,
what am I doing?
Five steps in, you're like, yeah.
Yeah, right. You're like, you look down at the shoes and you're like, yeah, they're ruined forever. And then, you know, you just don't care anymore. And, you know, and then the whole time I'm seeing a couple of people fall here and there. And I'm like, I'm going to be so pissed if I fall in this.
Yeah. Well, and that was one of the problems I had when I got there, is I didn't know how far I had to walk. I had to park a little ways off, and I didn't want to wear my galoshes, my boots, my festival boots, because they're not the most comfortable things in the world. So I thought, I'll walk up here and see what it looks like. And I estimated that if I went 50 more steps, just 50 more, just no matter how big they are, that many steps, these shoes were going to be covered and caked into the ground, into the earth. Which I wasn't ready for. So then when I went back to get the boots, that was when the rain came harder. And I said, you know what, guys?
Yeah.
I'm gone.
I'm out of here, man. Yeah. I wasn't proud of it. I didn't do it and laugh. I didn't do it mad. I didn't do it angry. I just said, sometimes.
The first text
just
I
not
got,
in the cards for the day, you know. The
first text I got Sunday morning was from Jim, probably about 9. Bring shoes you don't give a shit about.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got them.
Well, and the cool thing about, and anybody, festival goers will know, because this is all part of the festival experience, is the weather. And it can go any number of directions. But when you're in it with the people, whether you went with them or not, you know, Jim and Russ were both there. They didn't go together, but they were all in it together. Mm-hmm. And you gotta, if you do it right, which most people who are dedicated to do it right. You know, you guys had fun. You guys mentioned it yourself, Jim and Russ, and me and Barry from the outside have heard many talk about how, man, it was a lot of fun. boy, it didn't look like it. You know, yeah. If you were just right. taking pictures, if you were just taking pictures and saying, check this out, guys. But that's a unique thing to the festival experience.
Exactly. Yeah. The rain wasn't, you know, fortunately it wasn't like one of those rains that was coming down. It was just like a drizzle all yeah. day long.
An annoying mist.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And the weather wasn't cold.
No.
So it wasn't bothersome. You know, it was just there. And of course it made the ground just, the further in the day, the mud got thicker and thicker because of all the people tromping on it. It just made it a huge mud soup. It was.
Yeah, right. it looked pretty dangerous, and that's why they didn't have a second day. Right. Jim, I know you're a sports guy, at least you have been over the years. Did you go to what did they call it, the All-Star Lounge area where they had all the games on? Was that still going as per planned, or maybe it wasn't because of the weather? Did you see that?
You know, that outside going. Of – oh, Russ, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, they had the tent going, and I think that was a pretty popular option because it was one of the only places wow. that had cover where you could actually come in and yeah. get out of the weather. And yeah. it was a little drier in there.
Did you see it during the Alabama game, how many people were inside there?
It was packed pretty much oh, yeah. all the time.
It was a show in itself. It was, yeah, it was a good 1,000-plus people watching that game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that we need to point out for Russ, who's not a football fan, Alabama has a football team.
And they're good. And at least they were until
yesterday. They were until yesterday.
Until the other day.
Is that what yeah. they were playing? Okay, I couldn't figure it out.
Sorry. So, yeah, let's Russ, before Russ we move on.
That's a great rugby game.
Yeah. The band. We're not talking about the country band. So, yeah, so Saturday was fun, right? I mean, you both I know I got a text from Russ probably whenever it was. TLC was playing, and you were like, TLC's playing. They sound great. I'm cold. I'm wet. I just kind of want to go home.
It did kind of sound like your son trying to get home.
It never really poured down rain, but, yeah, eventually you just got soaked from all the drizzle. And as soon as the sun started to go down, it did get a little cold. And, of course, the mud was getting worse. By the time, you know, we stayed for about 3 Gwen Stefani songs and then decided to head out. But by that point, I mean, it was so muddy. Everywhere you looked, you had to watch where you were stepping. And at that point, it was kind of like, yeah, I'd be surprised if they're able to open this back up tomorrow just because of how muddy and how wet everything was Saturday night.
How were you looking at it Saturday evening, Jim? Were you making a day of it? Did you have a weekend plan that you had to then just readjust into Sunday? How was that going for you at that moment?
Well, let me remind you, he'd already been told by Heather they were staying for Blink.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
I forgot.
I knew.
My bad.
I forgot was
about
too.
That.
I say that because I want to ask about Sunday too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they would have been open, I would have been there.
Me too.
I would have had no choice. Mud or no mud, whether I liked it or not. But yeah, I didn't mind it. It just, you know, walking out, like, I think, you know, of course we had to see the entire ending and, you know, I'm the old guy going, let's go a little bit early, trying to beat traffic a little, you know, let's mm-hmm. Sunny. And she's like, no, we came not all this way. We're gonna, yeah. Yeah. And so
good for her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Glad she's not here.
It's a partnership.
Yeah. But yeah, it took a little bit more to walk out because it had gotten so bad at that point. Yeah. Like Russ said, I would have been surprised if they would have been, running Sunday because it was bad. I mean, the later it got, the worse it got because it just compounded by rain and more people stomping through it. It was tough. But, you know, for me, I kept thinking, who's got to pay for the repair on this? I mean, I told you, Barry, I was like, man, this is going to cost somebody.
Oh, I can already hear you doing it.
I know.
Yeah. Whoa, man, that's odd. That's some the promoter stuff over there.
That's the promoter.
Who do I know who can cut me a break on this?
Yeah.
Who's my insurance guy? Who's paying for this?
Yeah.
Russ, I'm going to hold off on Sunday. We'll talk maybe next week, I think, get your what you did Sunday. But I know, Jim, because you had a kind of a cool moment that you told me about that I think several people did. And this is the other part, I guess, that I thought I found interesting about this festival. It was a lot about Huntsville itself, mm-hmm. right? The reason we talked about it months ago when we had Corey Smith on from C3, and we talked about it when we had Mayor Tim Kelly from Chattanooga, the fact, why in the world does Huntsville now have a festival? Well, a lot of people don't realize Huntsville is now the biggest city in Alabama. It's growing. And this was their effort led by the mayor to, you know, bring young people, make it hip, basically. I mean, I don't know how else better to say it. And I've heard from several people who were like, I had no idea Huntsville was this cool. I had no idea Huntsville had this kind of thing. Did you guys go out Saturday night, or did you go back to the hotel and shower and get cleaned up? And I know you did go out Sunday, and I know you ended up running into somebody you had hoped to run into. So I kind of want to ask you about Huntsville and Sunday and how it hosted this event.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, once we found out that, you know, the festival was off, and we had already planned to go eat lunch somewhere. Of course, you're Google searching places to eat. We came across a place called Connor's. They have one in Knoxville. We'd been there before, so we're like, yeah, let's go to Connor's and eat. So, you know, we travel to the location, and we come to this big area that's kind of, it's, I guess, like a mall situation with eateries and shops, but it was really nice. And I looked at my, you know, wife, and I said, hey, this is like something I'd see in Florida and like Naples or West Palm. It was a really nice setup. Then of course we went into Connor's, we're standing in line, and then up from behind me comes Zach Myers, the guitar player from Shinedown. And, you know, I had posted a little story, you know, when I come to festivals, I'm always really fortunate to, you know, like you kind of have like a media type pass, or, you know, somebody that's been in the business pass to be able to allow me backstage or in certain areas. And I was like, man, I hope I run into Zach, because over the years, Zach truly was that guitar player in the band that was just really super nice. Hey, Stryker, have you met my parents? You know, hey, do you want to come on the bus? You know, that kind of situation with Zach. And so, you know, he's always been really cordial, and you don't expect people to remember you from years gone by because they meet so many different venue owners or promoters or media people. But Zach has always went, hey, Stryker. And, you know, and run into him there, and, you know, got to catch up real quick with him. And he was the one guy I did want to catch up with because he's been so nice. And, you know, and he told me that, you know, this was the last show for the band. I was like, really? He goes, yeah, we're going to be writing until May. So, you know, probably not going to hear much of Shinedown until May. Until festival season rolls back around.
Mm. Yeah. It's just, yeah, I love that story. And, but I'd also talked to some other people that were involved with the festival who were like, I had no idea Huntsville, you know, I want to go back just as a visitor. So it worked. Apparently, you know, even with the cancellation on Sunday and, it sounded like the idea of bringing eyeballs and people to Huntsville like it did its job.
Let me do this real quick, guys. Bear with me for a second. So we talk a lot about Huntsville on this show and others about their efforts to create a better live scene, to bring more hip, cool factor to the city in different ways, and primarily using live music and live entertainment as a way to do that. Jim, you know, you've been doing this virtually your entire adult life, starting with, or at least from my earliest memory here in the city of Chattanooga, an old club called The Bay, which did just extraordinarily well from meaning from a patron going, I never saw your books, right? Like, I don't know how your end of your year look like. But from a patron as a young person going, it seemed like a success, but that was a very different Chattanooga then. If somebody's looking, you know, you as a promoter, you as somebody who's looking to be in the business or are already in it, what do you see from city governments that could make you be enticed to do more business, to promote more shows, or to open a place like the Bay in a city, let's say Huntsville, let's say Chattanooga, insert Springfield, Illinois, wherever? What can governments do that would make you say, well, hey, I had this grand idea of bringing bands like Shinedown, Kevin Kidding, Driving and Crying, my buddies from, you know, other bands from Athens, Georgia, wherever it might be. What do you think about that dynamic from 30 years ago to today?
So we've had a little bit of technical difficulties. So we're going to try to reset this. Jim can hear me. We can hear Jim, but he can't hear the other two guys. So the question, Jim, was about when you were booking the Bay, which was a club you had, 20, 25 years ago, could you do that today? And if so, or if, I guess, more, what's different? What might be different versus today versus then, as far as booking acts?
I think, you know, as far as, you know, Brian was talking about finances on it and, you know, what could a city do to help facilitate this? You know, the big thing for an independent promoter like myself, essentially when we're doing shows, they're almost like one-offs. It's not like, hey, we've got multiple shows with multiple artists in multiple towns. So if you take a hit in one town, you may do phenomenal in another town. It kind of offsets and balances out in the end to where you do make a profit. So we're always taking a big risk every time we book a show, whether it's local or, you know, people have to understand there's a cost with everything. You're paying security, you're paying advertising, you're paying all those things that add up. So I don't know what a city could do unless it was, you know, there was some kind of financial tax break to help a venue out in the end. You know, like they do in movies, you know, you film a movie in Georgia, you get a state tax break. Would it help independent promoters to get some kind of tax break? Sure, anything's going to help that bottom line. And of course, you know, you hope the venue is good enough to where it's going to draw in itself to where you've got a good base to pull from. So you really got to know your audience. I don't know if it's great for a venue to be all over the place, you know, doing heavy metal and then doing pop and then doing this. I don't know. It's tough nowadays to really kind of figure it out. I was, you know, I knew my genre was mainly rock. So, you know, if you went to the Bay, you knew you were going to see the new up and coming rock acts. And I stuck to that. And of course, you know, I lived by it and I also died by it, because when rock started to drop off, you know, of course, I seen my finances drop off and to a point where, hey, look, it's time to shut this venue down. I'm not making money at it anymore.
One of the things I always respected and the reason that I always reached out to you is, and you know, we've had this conversation for decades, you book the bands that bring crowds. You didn't book the bands that you liked, right? That was the one conversation we always had. Because I've had so many people say, well, we need more hip hop. We need more this. We need more whatever. And clubs should book local bands. You guys are business people, right? You book what makes money.
Yeah, you've got to. You know, you would like to book, you know, it's that kind of thing that gets you in trouble as a venue owner is you're not booking enough local. You know, and why aren't you booking all the local bands? Well, you know, it comes down to a number of things. You would like to book all the local bands because you like the people in the bands, you know, because most of them are patrons too. But you can't afford to have a bad night when you're a venue running on margins like that. And especially, you know, on the weekend. That's your bread and butter. To offset it, years ago, you know, I would switch to a dance club after the band was over, the last hour and a half, instead of closing down right after the band ended. I'm like, look, I've got another hour and a half, 2 hours sometimes, to keep creating revenue. So let's put a DJ in, you know, and, that helped, some. And, but yeah, it's like, and to the point of, you can't book what you like, because, you know, it's that thing you always hear about drug dealers. If you're a drug dealer, better not do your own drugs.
Right.
you'll go broke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I can, bring it back to Brian's question. Did you ever feel like the city was helping? And by that, I mean like the Visitors Bureau, the city, the chamber. Were they doing anything to say, come to Chattanooga and, you know, go to Rock City, but also we have nightclubs, we have live music venues, we have restaurants, type of thing?
I didn't work with them ever really, but you did hear once in a while they would talk about the nightlife. You know, the love and support that I've got mainly came from, you know, people like Brian and you, media of some type, and it was radio or the newspaper. That's where I got most of my support, and, you know, call you up, hey, you want to do an interview with whoever, you know, and then Brian talking about shows, you hear him talk about shows, you know, today, of what's going around town. So, you know, that's where my support came from. And I think that's where you find most of the support.
Interesting. All right. I know you can't hear Brian. You got a question, and I'll pass it along.
Just some people that over the years that have stuck out the most to him coming through the Bay and other ventures he's had. I know he talked about Seether. Kevin Kenny is a local guy. I know everybody knows. Just some name drops if he wants to.
Oh, he's asking about some of your favorite shows that you booked. Kevin Kenny, the Seethers. Yeah, some of your favorites.
Oh, gosh. Finger 11's always my favorite. I love those guys. There were so many. Gosh, I mean, there's acts I couldn't remember that they even played. I had so many acts. Somebody goes, yeah, I loved it when I seen 30 Seconds to Mars there. And I'm like, I had 30 Seconds to Mars play? You know? And then I'd go through and Google search. I'm like,
asking about Robbie Krieger.
You know? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Brian wants to know about Robbie Krieger. Doors. From the Doors.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's old.
He's always been old.
You know?
That's what somebody always asked me about Alice Cooper. Said, you interviewed Alice Cooper. How's he look? Does he look old? I said, he looked old when he was 22.
Right. It's like George Clinton and P-Funk, you know, and you always hear stories about George Clinton and P-Funk, and George Clinton comes there, and, you know, you hear stories about how musicians were broke or went broke, and then he shows up with two tour buses, 30 musicians, and I'm like, no wonder he went broke.
He's still broke.
He was at the time, I think, under the influence, and it's 2:45, and you're looking at the tour manager going, hey, he's got to get off the stage. And I'm like, he's got to get off now. I've got to close down. You don't understand. The beer board's going to, you know, cite me. And they're like, turn the power off. I'm like, what? You can't just go up there and tell him to turn the power off. You know?
You go tell him. You go tell him.
You know, Prince coming into the venue, you know, just there's so many great acts. You know, it's like Nickelback. We had those guys play for years. You know, those guys were tour dogs before they broke. People don't realize that. Mm-hmm. They had probably played the Bay 5 times before they became famous. And their tour manager, his name's nickname's Chief, Kevin Zurich. We were talking this past year, and he was like, you know, we knew we were going to become famous the last time we played your place. That was the venue that told us we were going to, because the line was down the block, you know. And it's being able to reminisce with some of these tour managers or artists about, oh, wow, you do remember coming to Chattanooga, Tennessee, to a little, you know, hole in the wall place called the Bay. Wow, you do?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, it's funny. You know, I say this all the time. Every band started somewhere. I don't know of one that just, you know, from the shoot was all of a sudden superstars. So they had to play the bays and the and whatever around the country. Yeah. So that's why it's always fascinating. All right. Jim, man, thanks for your time.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for putting up with this technical difficulty. We don't know what happened. Hopefully this worked. But always fascinating to talk to you, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Good seeing everybody. Russ, hey, nice meeting you.
Talk soon, Jim.
Next time we'll run into each other and tromp through the mud.
Sounds good.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
All right, so there you go. Again, to me, the takeaways from South Star were it was fun to get out there and sing along to all these songs you didn't know you knew, but you knew. People made the best of what they had. And Huntsville, despite the rain, kind of showed out and presented itself very well. I mean, those are my takeaways. What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Russ. You were there.
No, I agree. I think despite the weather, it came out good for Huntsville, showed off the city pretty well to a lot of people who probably would have never considered going to Huntsville or anywhere near there. Like I said, I had a couple friends from Vancouver, Canada, who made the trip down because of South Star, and they were blown away with how cool the city is and how neat Huntsville was. I think, and like I said, they've got a 3-year contract, I believe, for this festival to be in Huntsville. So, you know, they're already planning next year, I'm sure.
Yeah, that was the biggest takeaway was getting the confirmation that there was the contractual agreement, which is nice. So happy to see they're giving another try. You put in August and September, you might run into the same problem next year. We all know that. But yeah, Huntsville's a cool city, and the only thing I did on the way back was, like, I need to make sure I do something different here. Did y'all know, I guess you know because you've driven that way recently, at least you have, Russ, there's a Whataburger in Scottsboro?
I've heard that.
In Scottsboro. I'm not a big fast food guy or want to sit around and talk about it all that much, but In-N-Out Burger and Whataburger. Down here in the South, we've been hearing about these Western, Midwest, West side of the country fast food joints. Well, there's one in Scottsboro, of all places. So I was like, well, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to get a Whataburger on the way home.
Wow.
Place sucks.
Somebody get lost?
Oh.
Place sucks.
There it is.
Somebody driving to Gulf Shore and got lost and
I don't
stopped?
Know. I mean, what I don't happened? Know. I don't know what's going on over there, but they've got a Whataburger, and it's just another crappy fast food joint. So that's the takeaway.
You didn't even stop at Buc-ee's?
Hell no, I didn't stop. There's no Buc-ee's on the way there. I had to take a hard left and head to the other side of the state.
All right, guys. So next week, like I said, our plan is to have some officials, or at least one official from the state. We're going to continue to talk about South Star a little bit more. And after that, I don't have any idea what's going to happen.
We'll figure it out as it goes along, I guess.
We might take a break.
Yeah, I mean, we're hopefully close to maybe a Shaky Knees lineup drop soon. And then, of course, January is right around the corner. We'll be talking Bonnaroo 2025.
Won't be too long before that stuff starts to happen. We still got a little bit of lull, but we'll figure it out.
We do have some special guests lined up for the end of the month, but I don't know the details on that one yet. So anyway, if you guys are still listening, thank you so much. Like, subscribe, and do all that stuff. And we'll be back. Thanks.